With no sign of the Ebola epidemic in West Africa slowing down, international aid agencies are stepping up their efforts in the fight against the deadly disease. And the Red Cross is at the front line, setting up a field hospital in a town called Kenema in Sierra Leone, and that's one of the worst affected countries, as you know. James Carlton spoke earlier to Australian nurse and epidemiologist Marshall Tuck, who has joined the international effort in Sierra Leone.
I am in Kenema, which is one of the hotspots of the Ebola epidemic in Sierra Leone. And the Red Cross is in the process of constructing a isolation hospital in Kenema to care for people who've been diagnosed with Ebola. So providing supportive care and to support the Kenema government hospital, which has just been overwhelmed. There's been over 15 deaths of healthcare workers there, nurses and doctors, to the point where medical and healthcare and other healthcare staff were abandoning the hospital. And since I've been there helping with triage, yesterday there were 3 deaths and today there was another 2 healthcare workers. One had died and one was in the process of transfer to the isolation ward.
Is that because they are unable to protect themselves with appropriate equipment?
Look, there is a short supply of personal protective equipment for national staff in general. There's varying levels of awareness and application of infection control practices.
Even from healthcare staff themselves?
Yes. Some have good understanding of how to protect themselves, but certainly some of the nursing staff that we're working with, we are working closely with them to improve their knowledge of how to prevent contamination and how to deal with patients who are presenting. And the level of fear from talking to national staff as we work with them is palpable. I mean, many of the nurses that we are working with have lost dear and close colleagues.
I understand there was a religious-based false message that was disseminated to the population. What was that?
It was a message that some religious leader had, an epiphany that if people got up at 2 a.m. in the morning and bathed with salt water and recited some passages from the Bible, that they would be protected. There's as much responding to misinformation as there is in explaining the facts about how people can protect themselves. Chlorinated water is something that is widely used here. You see it outside of hospitals. Everyone's encouraged to wash their hands. That there is rumours that chlorine isn't good for the health. So you've got to respond to that as a new message to ensure that people are encouraged to use the chlorinated water effectively to clean their hands.
Do you anticipate in time this outbreak will be completely contained and resolve itself?
I mean, it's a good question. I'm optimistic it will come under control. It's difficult to see that light because the number of cases that we see fluctuates from day to day and cases emerge in different villages in different points. So the response is like fighting a fire in a way. You see clusters of cases coming up in the data, and Red Cross is certainly mobilising it to go to those areas. But there doesn't seem to be the case that the situation is under control as yet.
I understand the World Health Organization has just closed one of its laboratories in Sierra Leone. Have you heard that?
Yes, I have. That's in a place called Kailan, where myself and some of the other nurses and doctors were getting training with MSF through its facility. And, yeah, it's a big blow because that will mean blood samples from that hospital will have to travel to Kenema, which is a good 2 hours drive. So the responsiveness in getting the results from those blood tests will just be slowed down considerably for the healthcare workers to identify people who are sick, but also to identify people who have recovered and can be discharged. So that would be a big blow.
Why was the laboratory closed down?
To my understanding, there was a WHO worker who became infected, who got infected.
And what treatment are you giving?
It's mainly supportive care. What seems to have made the difference is for a number of people who have survived is giving them oral rehydration salts, because diarrhea is one of the symptoms of this disease. If you can keep fluids up and if you can keep nutrition up, it's almost as if you're giving enough sustenance to the patient for them to overcome the virus and to shed it from their body. Fluids and nutrition as supportive care has made a big difference for a number of patients, and that's been the focus of our work so far.
And that's much more practical and effective than seeking to acquire these experimental drugs that are being given to Westerners who return home with the infection?
Look, I think so. And I think there's been a number of local staff who have said to me, oh, look, when is the vaccine or the treatment are going to arrive from abroad to here? And I kind of try and keep things in perspective and say, look, it's still experimental, but Ebola is preventable if you practice good personal and hand hygiene. If we can do that, then that will control or stop the spread, and we'll be able to get this in control.
That would be good, wouldn't it? That's Marshall Tuck, nurse and epidemiologist working with the Red Cross in Sierra Leone. He was speaking with James Carlton.